pray this morning as we think about those words that you would help us to realize that we are coming to the end of this age and entering into a whole new time with you in heaven. We come this morning to pray that we would be ready for that, that if everybody in this place would just think of it in their own hearts, am I ready to meet the Lord? Father, we think about dying, but when you come, it's all over in some ways. We just want to pray this morning that you would help us to really think about that. We bring every burden. Father, there's so many needs. We lift up the people, all the families, the tens of thousands of families in Turkey and Syria that are suffering, over 24,000 dead. And we just want to lift up those families, those individuals. We know in so many ways we pray that they would hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that somehow in the midst of this tragedy and this suffering, Lord, that you would allow those who are believers to share their faith, to talk about Christ, to let people know that there is an answer to all these things. And that answer is Jesus. We thank you for that. Lord, we lift every burden up in our personal life. We just think about all the trials and tribulations that we have in this world. We pray that we would be able to come to you and just freely give those into your hands. Your word says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I pray we would recognize that and we would draw near to you this morning. I pray for that individual that may be here or maybe tuning in to our service. I pray that if they're a long way away from you, if they don't know you, that they would even now draw near and say, Lord, show me yourself. Reveal yourself to me. Draw me. I pray they'd be honest about their condition and honest about their belief or lack of belief in you. And they would say, Lord, show me, because we believe you're more than able to do that. And so we come this morning knowing that in our lives you have revealed yourself to us in the person of Christ. May I ask your blessing on the word this morning as we study, as we start a study of the book of Joshua. We pray that you would just fill our lives with the truths and apply that to our personal life and our personal journey in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. You may want to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Let me mention, we started a study on Wednesday night on 1 Corinthians last Wednesday night. So you may want to come out this coming Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. There's food at 6. The study starts at 6:45. We're done by 7:30, the Lord willing. But we're starting 1 Corinthians. You may want to read ahead. We did the intro, the first verses 1 and 2 last Wednesday. If you don't have a Bible and need one, if you hold your hand up until Matthew's just wanting to pass those Bibles out. Right, Matthew? Did you know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose? We'll be looking at that in sort of a more in detail and maybe a little different slant on that in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 1 this coming Wednesday night. So it talks specifically about the things that we suffer. Joshua chapter 1, the first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch, and then we start in the historical books, the book of Joshua. Let me just give you the update on this. We've come to the point in our journey through the Bible. We primarily did the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. We're sort of swapping now and doing Joshua Sunday morning. We may swap back just to keep you on your toes. But we're come to the point now, the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They're really on the banks of the Jordan River. Moses, in the last part of the book of Deuteronomy, has died. God has anointed Joshua to take over and to sort of lead them in. Moses prayed, Lord, even though I can't go into the promised land, raise up a leader, raise up someone else that will lead them across. And God anointed Joshua, and Joshua had been with Moses from the very beginning. Joshua is one of the 12 spies that went into the land earlier in our study in the journey through the wilderness. He came back with a good report, he and Caleb, and so now he's being able to go across. But God's got some specific words to Joshua. I want to remind you that what's happening in our study, and I want to sort of apply this to our lives, is that things are really changing in the life of the Jews. They've come through the wilderness, and in some ways, it's easier to go in through the wilderness than moving into the promised land. And what I mean by that is when they go into the promised land, they're surrounded by enemies. There's going to be lots of wars. They had conflict as they came out of Egypt through the wilderness. From time to time, they had conflict. And a lot of the problems they had were just trusting the Lord and walking by faith and all that. But really what God's been warning them and telling them is you're going to go into the promised land. They're going to actually meet 30 separate armies. Over 30 armies they're going to have to conquer. So this is not going to be easy. This is going to be a complete change of environment, of intensity, of going into an area, a place where all of a sudden everybody's going to hate them, everybody's going to be afraid of them, everybody's going to do all they can to destroy them, to do away with them, to silence them. It sort of reminds us in some ways about America used to be a Christian nation, or at least influenced primarily by Christianity. But now we're in a pagan nation, a post-Christian era. More and more there's antagonism towards Christianity. There's vocal dissent. There's public ridicule of believers. And so in a lot of ways, our environment is changing around us. I think the word that God tells Joshua is absolutely relevant to us. That is, we hear what God says to Joshua about preparing him. I want to mention he's going to really basically tell him to be strong and of a good courage. But he says that 7 separate times. And it reminds me of 1 and 2 Timothy, where Paul tells Timothy in the New Testament, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. You have the sense that Timothy was afraid, and so Paul's having to sort of encourage him. In our study here of Joshua, and also at the end of Deuteronomy, where God's already twice told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, you have the idea that Joshua is really sort of trembling. In a way, he's going into unknown territory for himself. Think about this. For all these years, he has been with Moses. Moses has led the children of Israel, and now Moses is gone. So the mantle has fallen on his shoulders to lead the children of Israel in. And God's going to tell him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The people are going to come to tell Joshua, look, we will obey you as long as God's with you the same way he was with Moses. That would leave me scared to death. Because we think about God and Moses and how they had this. The Bible talks about Moses was able to go in before the presence of God and speak to him face to face. The Bible even says that God spoke with Moses in a very unique way. No one ever spoke to a human being like God spoke to Moses. He had this special relationship. But we've all got a relationship. As a believer, I've got a personal relationship with Christ. God speaks to each one of us. So I pray this morning as we look at these verses that God would speak to your heart about. You know, let me just say this. You may be crossing over areas in your life that you're not even aware of. There may be situations that you're facing or you're going to face in next week or next month. I think about the people in Turkey. They didn't expect what happened to them to happen to them. And all of a sudden, 24,000 people dead. And think about the relatives and families and friends and the people they were associated with and how that multiplies probably 10 or 20 fold easily. They weren't expecting that. And so I think in some ways the Holy Spirit, as we read the word and think about the application of this passage to our lives, we need to be aware of what God's saying to us and not just say, well, you know, I don't have any difficulties or I'm not facing any trials. Who knows what's going to happen next week or next year? I'm not trying to put fear in you by any means. I'm just saying to you, you and I always need to be ready. Always be ready for whatever God has for us. We're in God's hands. Sometimes we think that we can control our environment or everything's fine, but things can change very rapidly. And so we always need to be strong and of a good courage and remain steadfast in the word. We'll look at that also in our study. So look at this first chapter of Joshua. Look in verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving you, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Then he says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. That's the third time he said that already. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Here it goes again. Okay. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. You may want to underline that. You're sort of getting the picture? Be strong, be strong, be strong, you know. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So God's speaking this to Joshua prior to their crossing of the Jordan River because of the fact that God understood the challenges they would face. It would be very simple if they would simply be strong and of a good courage and remain steadfast in God's word. Very simple. Very simple instructions. God knows our simplicity. We don't need a lot of complicated stuff. I would say to you, whatever's going to happen in your life, tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, just be strong, be of good courage, and be steadfast in the word of God. Very simple. And whatever happens is in God's hands. But I think in some ways, this is how we get ready for those things. This is how we prepare in a way for whatever challenges that you and I will face, or whatever we're going to face tomorrow or next month, or the country faces, or our family faces, or you in a personal way. Maybe you're going through trials now and you're feeling overwhelmed and really weak. I would say to you, be strong, of good courage, and remain steadfast and committed to God's word. Very simple. Very simple. Look what it says, first of all, in verses 1 through 7. We'll look at this word, this statement that God makes to him about being strong. He says again in verse 7, only be strong. I want to point out the idea in this Hebrew word is primarily a mental thing. It's not physical. In other words, be absolutely committed. Now, I want you to think about what's been happening up until this time. God has been telling him, you've got all these people that live in this land. And these are individuals, and they're groups of individuals that they're going to be, you have to go in there and completely annihilate them. The sin has been so infected into the entire culture that when God sends Israel in, they've got to wipe everything out. God says to them, basically, if you don't do that, if you let any of these people remain, you will be ultimately infected by them. They will introduce you to their false gods. They will introduce you to their false religious systems. They will introduce you to their ways, and they will draw away your heart, and you will turn from following me. God knew exactly what he needed to tell these people, and of course, what God told them would happen did happen. They ended up forsaking the Lord and turned away from God simply because they didn't obey. But here's the point I want to make. God is saying to them, be strong. God has told them what to do. Or another way to say that, I would submit to you that God has told us in his word what he expects of us. It's right there plain to see. We need to understand what the Bible teaches, understand what the Bible says, understand what God's will is for your life and my life. And in that respect, we need to be strong. We need to be absolutely committed to understand what God said and do what the Lord tells us to do no matter what. If we're not strong, if we don't have that kind of resolve, that kind of commitment, it reminds me in some ways of people that come to Christ, but their commitment to Christ is very weak. Maybe they're in a personal situation. Maybe they're a drug addict or an alcoholic and they need God to help them. Or maybe their personal life is falling apart and they need the Lord to come and help them. And all of a sudden God does help and they give their life to Christ. But those circumstances change. And all of a sudden, I'm not a drug addict, I'm an alcoholic, or the problems I'm having are gone. Now, what about my level of commitment? Is my level of, did I come to Christ for the right purpose, is what I'm saying. And that's so important to understand. In other words, what does the Bible say? What does God's word tell us? Look, if we're a drug addict or whatever, maybe we need to come to Christ no matter what. I'm not saying we don't need to come to Christ. But I'm saying to you that the commitment we make to Christ is so vital. We need to be strong. And there are Christians that are weak. They're weak in the word. They're weak in their walk. They're weak in their faith. They're weak in every way. But I would submit to you so often it's because they came into this sometimes, into this walk with Jesus in a very loose way. Well, I got problems in my life. I'm going to get ask Christ to forgive me and help me. Well, the Lord comes. You've heard of foxhole religion. Or jailhouse religion. I'm in jail, so I need Jesus. All of a sudden, you got Jesus, so now I'm out of jail. I don't need him anymore. And that's what I'm sort of saying to you in a way. It's like we need to evaluate, how do I strengthen? How do I become strong? When God says to Joshua, be strong, be mentally prepared for what fate you're facing, be absolutely committed to God's will, God's plan, what God said is going to happen to you. You need to understand that. Because if you're not strong, if you're weak in that, or if you just say, well, look, you know, we've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, we just want a place to live. And all of a sudden they cross over Jordan, find a place to live, and don't do what God said. They don't continue to press forward on what God told them. If they're not strong in their resolve, if they don't understand what they're doing, or sometimes in a marriage relationship, people get married sometimes for the wrong reasons. They fall in love, they get married, but they don't think about what God's word says, the commitment God expects, what the Bible teaches, even their vows. And so all of a sudden, over a period of time, perhaps their marriage becomes weak. Why? Because their understanding of what I'm doing is very shallow. And the way that we strengthen our marriages, strengthen my resolve to follow Christ, strengthen the fact that we're facing a pagan nation that is more and more antagonistic towards Christianity, is understand what the Bible says. Understand what God told us in the Word. Understand that God says to you and I, be strong. Don't be a weak Christian. Don't be anemic Christian. Don't be some, you know, in and out, and, well, sometimes I follow him and sometimes I don't. Depends on the, you know, the weather, you know. If the weather's fair or whatever it may be, or if the weather's bad. And there are Christians like that. They're very weak. And so when you look at their lives, they are constantly struggling. They're constantly weak. They're constantly giving in to temptation. They're constantly struggling in their Christian walk. But I would submit to you, it's probably because they're not strong. When they came to Christ, they may have come to Christ in the wrong, what do I say? We come to Christ because we need Jesus. And ultimately, I'm a sinner on the way to hell, and I need Jesus to forgive me. So my circumstances may change. I may be in jail and get out of jail. Matter of fact, one night in jail helped me come to Christ. But I didn't come to Christ to get me out of jail. I come to Christ to forgive my sins because I need Jesus. My need for Jesus has never changed. I need Jesus just as much now as I did when I accepted Christ when I was 19 years old. Why? Well, the Bible tells me that. I understand the level of commitment Jesus expects. We weigh it out. Jesus said, before you commit to follow me, weigh it all out. Think about what you're doing. Understand the commitment. Why? Because he wants you and I to be strong. I would submit to you, not only are we living in a pagan nation, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Jesus told us that. Or another way to say that is, if you're not strong as a believer, you're going to get crushed. You're going to be weak. You're going to give up and turn back. And so we need in some ways to strengthen our commitment by reevaluating, why am I following Jesus? Why have I committed to him? What's my goal? I would say the goal of every believer is this, to finish the race that he set before us and finish it well. I want to cross the finish line, and I don't want somebody to drag me across the finish line. I want to sprint. You know, when you come, you're running the marathon, and all of a sudden you come to that last 100 yards, and you just sort of, you bear down. And that's what God wants in our lives. We're seeing the finish line. We're seeing the end of the age. We're seeing things happening that are just dramatic. And God says to you and I, be strong. Because so many just fall by the wayside. Jesus said in the last days, because iniquity abounds, the love of the most. It says many, but literally in the Greek it says the love of the most will wax cold. Why? Because iniquity abounding. It's going to abound more and more, and they're not strong. And that iniquity abounding, the evil and the sinfulness of our culture, as it gets worse and worse and worse and more pagan and blatantly pagan, it's going to affect weak believers. And because of that, because iniquity abounds, the love of most will grow cold. I'm reminded of Revelation where Jesus said, look, I wish you were either hot or cold. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. He said, spew out or vomit you out. That's what God thinks about, you know, the person that's sort of lukewarm. He says, I'd rather you be cold than just lukewarm. So that's important. It's important that you and I just be steadfast and understand what it means when God says to be strong to Joshua. Joshua, look, you've got to be strong, man. You're leading these people. They're watching you. I would submit to you that there are people watching you. If they know you're a believer, they're watching your life. They're seeing how you handle things, how you handle problems, how you handle tragedy, how you handle difficulties, how consistent your walk with Christ is, how devoted and committed you are. I don't want them to say, man, that's a weak Christian. Or if that's what Jesus does, I don't want it. No, Jesus changes lives. Jesus takes weak things and makes us strong, not in our strength, but in God's strength. It's God that strengthens us. It's the Lord that empowers us. It's the Lord that fills us with this amazing, holy resolve to follow Jesus no matter what. I'm just saying to you, please, think what God is saying to Joshua. Think about why God is saying that to Joshua. Think about the situation that Joshua is facing. He's going into uncharted territory in a hostile place where the entire culture is contrary to everything he's been taught by God. It's filled with idolatry and paganism and witchcraft. And you got to be strong. Very important point. We've got to be strong in facing these trials. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? It's small. If we faint when trials come, our strength is small. And in some ways, test your strength. Look at yourself and say, Lord, how do I handle problems? How do I handle difficulties? How do I handle challenges? How do I handle temptation? How do I handle unexpected events? Do I faint? Do I throw up my hands and say, you know, where's God when you need him? The Bible says that God's with us no matter what. I don't care what happens. Jesus said, I would never leave you or forsake you. What did God tell Joshua? I will never leave you or forsake you. He said exactly the same thing that Jesus told his disciples. I will go with you to the end of the world. So just because the circumstances aren't good, just because it looks like God's not around me, that doesn't mean he's not around me. He is. He promised it. But what God's doing is oftentimes the trying of our faith. The Bible says it's more precious than of gold that perishes. God tests our faith. The Bible says don't consider it strange concerning the fiery trials to try you, as though some strange thing happened. It's not unusual for believers to go through trials. Haven't you noticed that when it rains, it pours? When one thing goes wrong, it all goes wrong, you know? The tire's flat and the refrigerator stops working, the air conditioner goes out and there's a leak somewhere else, and, you know, then you get sick, and on top of that, somebody calls up and chews you out. No, I know you've never had that kind of stuff happen to you, is it? But that's the trying of our faith. It's the testing of, do you believe in God? Are you following him no matter what? Or are you weak? If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Another verse I want to show you is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Here's what it says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, our battle is not with physical human beings. The conflict we face is demonic spirits, flesh and blood. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. A principality is a prince over a polity. It's a geographical area. There are demonic forces in this world. Principalities against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, what am I supposed to do about that? Well, I would say, sum this up, as far as the armor of God, if you study Ephesians chapter 6, be strong. He says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why should I take all of the armor of God, the whole, all of it, that we may be able to stand in the evil day, to withstand when the trials come, when the difficulties come, when the enemy faces us, when we go into the promised land, and everywhere we turn, there are enemies, there are challenges, there are situations that are hard. We need to be strong. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore, stand. Don't wilt, don't turn and run. Stand up for being a Jesus. Follow Christ. Make a decision. Or another way to say that, if you're not going to follow him, don't follow him. But if you're going to follow him, follow him. Be absolutely committed to him. 100%. So what is it? How are you doing this morning? Could you say that I'm strong in the Lord? In the Lord, we know that our strength comes from the Lord. It's not our strength. The Bible says we're weak. But the Bible says when we're weak, then he's strong. The person that thinks they're strong, they're really weak. The person that's weak and depending on the Lord, well, they're strong. When Josh goes in, as Joshua understood, Joshua, you're really weak. You need to depend on the Lord. That's strength. That's God will strengthen him. God will empower him. So we're not being strong by some mental gymnastics. We're not being strong by just trying to talk ourselves into something. We're strong because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he empowers us to face the challenges and the difficulties. And it's hard to follow Jesus sometimes. There are prices you pay to follow Jesus. But he enables us to do that. And believe me, it's far better to follow Christ and all the challenges that means than to not follow him and to die and go straight to hell. Believe me. The second thing that God tells the Joshua is to be courageous. Look what he says again in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law. So he says this idea of being courage, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. You know, I forgot how many thousands of times in the Bible it says fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Let me ask you a question, a logical question. Why would God say to you and I thousands of times, but don't be afraid? Because we're afraid. You know, when your child has a problem, you know, and you know that, you want to tell them over and over and over and over and over again. Why does God tell Joshua, be strong and courageous 7 times? Because Joshua has a tendency not to be strong and not to be courageous. I'm just saying to you again, it's so important we understand what it means. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of what's happening. Don't be afraid of our culture getting worse and worse and worse and more anti-Christian. Don't make decisions out of fear. Be courageous. Not only do we know the individual who controls the future, but he has talked to us. He's spoken to us. He basically says, look, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for you and I that are out of this world. God has an amazing future for us. We're living, if you will, on a sort of an alien planet. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ, meaning that we represent Christ. We're born again. We're born from above. We've been saved by the grace of God. We follow Jesus. We're living in a world that is totally given over to evil and sin and getting worse and worse. So in some ways, and Jesus said this to us. He said, look, if they reject me, they're going to reject you. If they haven't listened to me, they're not going to listen to you. If they've called the master of the house the devil, how much more will they call David's household? Very simple. So as a believer, I mean, the moment I accepted Christ, within a very short time, people were saying things about me or rejecting me or whatever. The day after I accepted Christ, two of my best friends from grammar school came over to my I was at college at the time, and I told them, I give my life to Jesus. I'm done with all the partying and the drugs. I'm going to follow Christ. And they were like, well, he's weird. You know, I could tell by the way he looked at me, you know. Because it's hard sometimes, but yet the joy of just following Christ. Jesus changed my life. He told me to follow him, not follow my friends. I'm just saying to you again, how do we face the future courageously by realizing he holds the future, he controls the future. Don't be afraid of the tide of evil that's coming and growing in this world. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 says this, if we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. That's what he says. We know we're of God. We're born of the Spirit. We have this relationship. We're not by ourselves. We have this person, this individual. Just like the worship team sang that song, our goal is we're not into religion. We're into Jesus. We're into following Christ and knowing him and following him and serving him and loving him and worshiping him. What is my point? Again, what is he saying here? We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world it's always been that way. Sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes when Christianity permeates and the gospel is preached, it affects the culture. The culture is more embracing of Christianity. But all of a sudden now we're seeing this kicking out of Christianity, this rejection of God and His Word. The Bible says in Proverbs that the foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? And the foundations, every foundation in the Scripture are being undermined. What is marriage? What is man and woman? What is sin? What is right? What is wrong? All that's being undermined. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me tell you what the righteous can do. We can be strong and courageous. We can realize the whole world lies in wickedness. But we're of God. We're born by the Spirit of God. We have this individual who's stronger than these things. He's not intimidated. Think about that. The idea of strength. Resolve. Is anybody more resolved than God Himself? God has determined. God has told us. God has spoken to Joshua. Here's what you're going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. You think God ever changes His resolve? You think ever changes His mind? The Bible says, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Or you think God is not courageous? You think He's intimidated by all this? You think He's afraid of the devil? You think He's afraid of anybody? I mean, of course He's not. Let me say this to you. If you're a believer and you're strong and courageous, the devil is terrified of you. The Bible says resist the devil and what? He will flee. Why does he flee? Because he can't take it. We are a threat to him because we believe in Jesus. We have this individual that's a part of our lives. So we have to be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. When trials come and you don't understand what's happening and it looks like God's not around you, and I'm telling you, there are times it looks like God's not there. But is God there? Of course He's there. He told us He's there, whether you feel Him or not. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go by how we feel. We don't go by circumstances. God promised us, in the world you have tribulation. Just because bad things are happening doesn't mean whatever. Look at Job. God's told us in the Scriptures that following Jesus is not always easy. A lot of believers have given their lives for Christ, died for Jesus' sake. So God's always with us. We shouldn't be intimidated. We shouldn't be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of the fight, the challenge. To me, again, I've mentioned before, I'm very competitive, which means I'll be watching the Super Bowl tonight. I won't tell you who I'll be rooting for, but we've been sort of planning the food for a while. I tell Donna, okay, what are we going to have? Let's have some whatever it may be. And you're there saying, who cares about that? I don't know. But let me say this, there's nothing more competitive than following Jesus in a world that's pagan. There's nothing more exciting than loving Jesus, talking about Jesus, when people won't even mention His name. Or another way to say that is going, I remember a friend of mine, we used to go work out, lift weights. And when we were in the weight room, we would talk about Jesus. And his name was Bob. And I would say, Bob, well, tell me, Bob, is it okay to follow the Lord? He says, oh, Mark, you got to follow Jesus. We'd always mention Jesus. Because whenever you mention Jesus, people start looking at you. You can talk about God and they don't look much, but... And then Bob would say, well, Mark, let me ask you a question. Can you just get to heaven by being good? And I'd say, oh, no, Bob, you've got to be born again. So we would be witnessing indirectly. But I'm saying to you again, you and I need to be absolutely loving Jesus and not be afraid or intimidated by that at all. Just follow the Lord. Just follow Christ. Be courageous. Look in Romans chapter 8 very quickly. Romans, the 8th chapter in the New Testament. If you don't want to turn there, I'll read it to you. But Romans, the 8th chapter, and let me just encourage you to write this down. I put it up on the screen, I believe, yes. If you ever get intimidated, turn to Romans chapter 8 and read these verses. Now, if this doesn't encourage you, you got problems. Well, now, if you're a believer, you may not be a believer. Maybe you're visiting this morning, but... let me read this to you. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 31. Paul is talking about the fact that as Christians, we have been born again. We have been moved from being in the world to being in Christ. Okay? That's what he's been talking about. We are now not in the world. We are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But then he says in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? Think about what I just said. The believer is in Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he gave Jesus to die on the cross for us, isn't God going to provide for his people? Of course he will. Look in verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He's the ultimate judge, not man. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Furthermore, who is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Jesus is interceding for his people. He's praying for us. What is he praying? Lord, Father, let them be strong and of good courage. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, what can the devil do? I mean, he may persecute me. I mean, just like in the old days, that we may get put to death. But so what? We just get promoted to heaven. And Jesus told us that. So I'm just saying, what can separate, if I'm in Christ, if my position is in Jesus, what can separate me from the love of, can tribulation? Can tribulation take me out of Christ? Of course not. That's what Paul is ultimately saying here. Then finally, look at it back in our study. The last thing that God says to Joshua basically is to stay in the Word. Or let me rephrase this whole study. The way to be strong and courageous is to stay in the Word. See, God tells us to be strong and to be courageous. How do I be strong and how do I be courageous? By staying in the Word. Or another way to say that is this. Not only stay in the Word, but let the Word of God stay in you. Let the Word of Christ, the Bible says, dwell in us richly. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So God is telling Joshua that, stay in the Word. Look what he says here in verse 8. He says in verse 8 of our study, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What does that mean? We're to talk about it. What am I doing right now? I'm talking about the Word. Let me ask you a question. Are you talking about the Bible? You discuss it. You talk about the Lord, whether you're witnessing and sharing with unbelievers or whether you're among believers talking about Christ. What did God say to Joshua? Let the word of let the law be in your mouth. Talk about it. Matter of fact, early in Deuteronomy it says, you know, when you sit down, when you go to sleep, wherever you go, put it on your doorpost, write it on your hands. Everywhere you go, let the word of God be in your heart. You know, God said that to them. This is your wisdom. This is how there's wisdom. So God is telling Joshua, let the book of the law shall not depart from out. Secondly, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So not only do we talk about it, we think about it. We think about the word. We think about the Bible. We think about one of the blessings that I have. One of the joys that I have. One of the great privileges of my life is the fact that God's called me to preach. To pastor a church. And what I say by that is one of the responsibilities that I have is to be in the word all the time. I'm constantly reading, constantly studying, and constantly praying in the Bible. And I love that. But that this is not, okay, just you, Joshua, everybody. The Bible says we're to give a reason for any man that asks us a reason for the hope that's within us. Be ready to give an answer. The Bible says examine yourselves whether or not you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. How do I prove my own selves? By look at my life in relationship to the Scriptures. Or another way to say that is, am I strong? Am I strong when trials come and dip? Am I courageous? Or am I intimidated and I cower down? Or the third point is, am I in the Word? And is the Word in me? So he says to Joshua, speak about these things. Meditate. How do I meditate on Scripture? Well, it's like I just said, be strong. And I think about being strong. I think about what it means to be strong. I think about the life of Jesus, how he never cowered down, how he faced temptation, how he faced death, how even in the garden when he was agonizing over the fact that he would come and be killed for us and die on the cross and be separated from his Father. And the Bible says he sweated great drops of blood. It was so intense. He ultimately said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." He asked the Lord, God his Father, to strengthen him. The Bible says the angels of God came down and strengthened him. In the same way, you and I need strength. And so we need to not only speak about the word, we need to meditate on the word. But then thirdly, look in verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from our mouth." So we talk about it. "You shall meditate on it day and night." So we're supposed to think about it, consider it. I said before, when you think your commitment to Christ or maybe your commitment to your marriage is weak, well, then we consider the word. We meditate on the, what does the word say about marriage? What does the word say about commitment? What does the word say about, you know, about keeping your word? What does the word say about God's grace? God enables us. God empowers us. God gives us the grace to commit to things and to stay committed. And we meditate on that. So God uses that. And then he says this. The third thing is this, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in the law, in the word. So it's not just talking about it. It's not just meditating on it. It's doing it. The Bible says in the book of James, don't be just hearers of the word, but doers. It's not just the people that hear the word. It's the ones that do it. It's not about just hearing about following Christ. Are you following Christ? It's not about just letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly and hearing that, but is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? How do I do that? Well, you read it. You get up in the morning or in the evening, you read the word, you meditate on the word, carry your Bible around with you, write verses down put them in your car. You know, carry them with you to work or school, or just let the word of Christ, think about it, talk to other people about it. Ask other Christians, "Man, I was listening to this passage in the Bible. What do you think about it? Let's talk about it." I've challenged in our men's ministry, look, just guys, just get with other guys, just get with other men. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, just open the Bible up, read a chapter, and talk about it. If you just open the Bible up and read it and talk about it, the Lord's going to work. That's what we're doing this morning. I'm just showing you the plain scripture. We're just going through the Bible. This is what we do. We just meet, read the word, and talk about what God's saying to us and apply it. I want the word of Christ. This is how we have strength. This is how we have courage. Why? Because we let the word of Christ, we let the word of God, we think about it, we talk about it, we meditate on it, but we want to do it. We want to obey the word. We want to be conformed, not to the world. The Bible says we're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How is my mind renewed? By the word. This is from God. God speaks to me. God tells me what's going to happen. And so he says that, verse 8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success." This is how you're going to succeed, Joshua. Or let me say it like this. You want to succeed as a believer in God's eyes, not in the world's eyes. In the world's eyes, you may be a complete failure. But I could kill us what the world thinks. I want to please God. I want God to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How do I do that? Let me tell you, simply, be strong, be courageous, and stay in the word. Just stay in the word and be strong and courageous and follow Jesus. Don't turn back. Don't give in. Don't turn and run. Hang in there. It's coming to an end. Can you imagine the marathon runner that runs for all those miles and he comes to the finish line and he's 100 feet from the finish line and says, "I quit. I can't handle this anymore." Wow. Let me challenge you. Finish the race. Paul talks about the race that God set before him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that's the author of our faith. He's the one that's going to finish our faith. He's the one that began a good work in us. He's going to perfect that good work. All he wants me to do is keep my eyes on him. Look, if hearing all this stuff around the world is bothering you, don't listen to it. We were talking the other day about, you look, here's what God's called me to do is preach the word. Okay? So whether it's whatever's happening in our culture, we're just going to keep preaching the word. We're going to do what we've always done, just preach the word in season and out of season. We just keep following Jesus. It doesn't make any difference. But I'm saying some people get their minds and their hearts and their emotions off, and they start thinking about all this stuff. And it brings confusion and fear and intimidation. They start doing things because they're responding to that, not by the Holy Spirit. They're responding to what they're hearing outside. We want to be guided by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, respond to what God's saying to us. I'm saying to you again, if there's things that are intimidating you, get away from them. Get in the Word. Another way to say that is get more in the Word than in all the other garbage that's going on in this world. Let me give this one last verse. We'll close. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says exact same thing that we just read about Joshua. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf won't wither, and whatever he does will what? Will prosper. The next verse says, but the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, the way of the sinner, will perish. Follow Jesus. You'll never regret following Christ. So let me close with this. Be strong. Be courageous. And stay in the Word. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we close, I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. Father, we just thank you for your Word and how, as I look at Joshua, I look at his circumstances, his situation, I look at what's happening around him, I look at the children of Israel, they've come out of the wilderness and now they're fixing to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And I think about what you told him, what you said to him seven separate times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Let this Word be in you. Meditate on it. Think about it. Talk about it. Do it. And you'll be successful. You'll be blessed, as it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't want to walk in ungodly counsel. We don't want to walk or stand in the way of sinners or sit where scornful people that just scorn the Bible and scorn God and mock God are. Our delight needs to be, must be in the Word of God. And I pray we would exercise that, we would demonstrate that by men and women that are committed to hearing the Word, knowing the Word, talking about the Word, meditating on the Word, and doing what the Word tells us to do. How do we do that? Make sure we're in church. Make sure we're in Bible studies. Make sure we're connecting with other believers. Make sure we're sharing Christ wherever we go with unbelievers, telling them about Jesus, about his love, about his grace, about his forgiveness, about eternity, warning those individuals to flee from the wrath to come because you're coming soon. But Lord, the fact of the matter is our circumstances are very similar to Joshua's. We're in a hostile environment and growing in hostility. We're facing trials and tribulations. I think about COVID. I think about the economy. I think about the inflation rate. I think about jobs and all the unsettledness in government and politics. So much is going on. I think about what's happening over in Ukraine, the challenge with China, all the stuff happening in Turkey and Syria. Everywhere we look. And yet the Bible says you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God, you said, I change not. We just want to be followers of Christ, absolutely, totally strong in our commitment, courageous as we face the future, knowing that we have someone with us who told us you would never leave us, that you would supply all of our needs. And number three, you've given us the Word. You've given us access to the Bible to be able to gather here openly and publicly, at least at this point. And we're grateful. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. We pray for both local and federal. Please, God, whatever happens, I pray that we would maintain this ability, this freedom we have to gather and hear the Word and preach the Word and share the Word, because that's the only hope this country has, is for the Holy Spirit to move through the Bible, the preaching of the gospel, so that sinners can be saved and come into this personal relationship with Jesus and be changed, because this world's coming to an end. And I just pray that we will be found not only finishing our race, but finishing it well. Sprinting at the end, not slacking our pace, not giving up, not fainting in the day of adversity, but just pressing onward. As Paul said, I press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to do. But Lord, we all also say this, we're weak. We need you to strengthen us. We're fearful people. We need you to fill us with the Spirit. Give us this supernatural courage to face adversity, to face the challenges that you alone know we'll face. And help us not even to flinch. We also pray that you would help us. Give us a hunger for the Word, a great thirsting to know what you have to say to us. Not only now, one day the Bibles may be taken away from us. One day we may have to go into hiding as a church or as Christians. But Lord, whatever, I just pray that you would help us to remember we have the Word now. We have this amazing opportunity to read it, to meditate on it, to memorize the verses, whatever, to gather together on a Sunday or a Wednesday and hear it preached, the women's Bible study, the men's Bible study on the 25th coming up. And I pray we would be faithful to that because we need that. We all need it. We're not supermen and women. We're just plain, ordinary people. And we just want to follow Jesus well. And we look to you to help us to do it. In Christ's name I pray.